It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. How did Olympic gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar get away with abusing hundreds of women and girls for two decades? Later in the hour, I'll talk with Kate Wells, formerly of Iowa Public Radio, now with Michigan Radio, a host and producer of a new podcast called Believed. That later in the hour. First of all, we're going to go to politics on this eve of our 2018 midterm election. We're going to be checking in with a number of reporters, bureau chiefs in the Midwest, outside of Iowa, to see how governor races are going in the Midwest. Let's first start with Sean Johnson, Capital Bureau Chief at Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Sean.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us once again. So let's set this up. Governor Scott Walker, the Republican, Tony Evers, the Democrat. Tell us a little bit about these candidates. Of course, Scott Walker needs pretty much no introduction, does he?
Certainly not in Wisconsin. So this is actually Scott Walker's fourth statewide election here in the last 8 years. He won in 2010. He won a recall election in 2012, won his re-election in 2014. And so now, not only is he going for a pretty rare feat, and that is winning a third term in office, he's trying to win his fourth statewide election here in the last 8 years. So, yes, he's pretty well known here. He also ran for president in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
He faces Democrat Tony Evers, who is the state superintendent of public instruction. Evers also has won three statewide elections as state superintendent, but that is officially a nonpartisan job. It's elected during low turnout races, and, you know, just he's just not nearly as well known as the governor.
Mm-hmm.
That is sort of changing as we head toward, you know, election day. And you know, if you're watching TV, you've seen both of them quite a bit on ads.
Now, is then because of Tony Evers' background, and of course, Scott Walker has reshaped the education from K through 12 up through higher education in Wisconsin. Is school funding, education, a big topic?
Yeah, for Evers, I would say every ad that you see from him, he mentions a couple things now, education and health care. For education, he talks about Governor Walker's first budget in 2011 after he was elected. The governor made deep cuts to K through 12 public education spending in that budget. He cut the University of Wisconsin system in his first three budgets. And so those are the budgets that Tony Evers has focused on. Governor Walker has, in his last budget, however, increased school funding pretty substantially. Tony Evers, at the time, not yet a candidate for governor, praised that budget. And so that's been the governor's retort here, is that because I did things right and, you know, basically changed state government, we were able to put more money into schools this year. But I would say it's more an issue for Evers. He says, elect me, I'll take care of our kids. The other thing he talks about a lot is health care, and I think you've probably seen this in from Democratic candidates in Iowa and around the country. They talk about pre-existing conditions and how Governor Scott Walker, if he had his way, the Affordable Care Act's protections for people with pre-existing conditions would go away. Walker did sign on to Wisconsin joining a multi-state lawsuit that aims to overturn the ACA. Walker's retort to that would be, has been, that if that happened, if that law went away, I'd support similar protections at the state level.
I understand that Governor Walker has taken a very unusual step with the National Guard troops for tomorrow. What is he doing?
He's activated them, I guess, just to monitor the election system. And from what we can tell, there's nothing unusual. It's just basically they're on watch.
Does that mean if when you go to vote in Wisconsin, there'll be a National Guardsman or woman standing guard?
I don't think that that's what that means. You know, we'll know more tomorrow. It's pretty typical that you would have, for example, Department of Justice people. Our state attorney general deploys people around the state to kind of watch certain precincts. So they're always watched. I'm not sure that you'd have somebody in uniform there watching over them.
Mm-hmm. I understand Scott Walker has started referring to himself as an underdog in this race, even though he's the multi-time incumbent here.
Yeah, they both there was this the last poll that came out from Marquette University showing them tied, and tied at 47% apiece, but also tied the number of people who responded to this big poll. It was tied split down the middle between Walker and Evers. And they have both really emphasized those numbers. Walker, in particular, said, hey, we could lose. Send me money. Get your people out to vote. You know, sound the alarm, basically. So he has worn that underdog label quite a bit in this race, saying it's going to be his toughest race yet. Kind of trying early in the early going, it seemed like an effort to kind of wake up the Republican base that's supported him so much over the years. You do get the sense that the base is awake now, but recent polling has shown that Democratic voters are still at this point more enthusiastic about voting tomorrow than Republicans.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at my screen on the Wisconsin gubernatorial election. I see, oh, Scott Walker running even against Democratic challenger. Walker trails Democratic opponent Evers by 5 points in Wisconsin. So these polls are all... sounds like within the margin of error or close to it.
Oh, definitely within the margin of error. There have been other polls from NBC Marist that have shown Evers with a more sizable lead, but Marquette's polling has shown the race pretty consistently close.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and turnout in Wisconsin, early voting, has that been big as it has in other parts of the country?
Yes, it has. It's been, you know, much larger than in 2014. This is something that we've been hearing a lot about in Madison, which really emphasizes early voting, that, you know, 2014's numbers have been far eclipsed by early voting this year. You know, that was early voting was up also in 2016, so you can't look at that and say, because it's a pretty common practice in a Democratic stronghold like Madison, that that's going to equate to a Democratic victory. I mean, Hillary Clinton lost here in 2016. But we can look at it and say that people have already gotten their Election Day duties out of the way ahead of time.
Okay, very good. Sean Johnson, Capital Bureau Chief of Wisconsin Public at Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for the snapshot from the Wisconsin gubernatorial election, the day before the election. Sean Johnson, thanks.
You're very welcome.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News, checking in with a few Midwest journalists to find out about governor races outside of our state. Kansas, as red as red can be, but it's possible Kansas may soon have a Democratic governor. Jim McLean is with us, managing director at Kansas News Service. Hi, Jim. Jim, are you there? I'm going to give Jim a few more seconds, sounding a bit now, perhaps. Jim, are you there? Not getting Jim. I think I'll go to our next state, if that works. Okay, let's go to our, we'll be back to Jim in just a minute after we get our wires uncrossed there. Brian Mackey is with us, State House reporter for NPR in Illinois. Brian, are you there?
I am here. How are you, Sean? Or Ben, excuse me.
Yes, very good. Yeah, we've got a lot of things going on right now the day before the election. Brian, thanks for joining us. So the matchup here in Illinois, Governor Bruce Rauner, the Republican, J.B. Pritzker, the Democrat. And the headline out of Illinois is that this could be the most, expensive gubernatorial election in U.S. history.
It's looking like it's heading that way, and people are here already reporting that Pritzker is certainly the most self-funded candidate in history. He has his list of donors basically includes one name, and that's his own. He's kicked in, what we know of so far, $171.5 million into his election effort, which outstrips the previous record holder, which was in 2010 in California.
I don't know. I have the figure in front of me, but that outstrips maybe even Donald Trump for the presidency, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't have that figure in front of me either, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
He, of course, has Pritzker. I say, of course, it's well known to those of us in Illinois now. But he is an heir to the Hyatt Hotel fortune, and he's one of those people that gets listed on the Forbes list of 400 richest people. I think his net worth is well over $3 billion, and his Republican opponent is also wealthy in his own right. Not a billionaire, but a near billionaire, a multi-hundred millionaire. Bruce Rauner was a private equity investor for his career.
Mm-hmm. So where has all that money been going to, on air or the internet? Where has it been, that substantial amount of money going?
All of the above. You can't escape the advertising, certainly on television. I hear from people who listen to Spotify and other online services, Facebook ads. I've seen YouTube videos, Snapchat. Anywhere that you can find a place to spend money on advertising, these candidates are doing it.
Mm-hmm. So what issues are they addressing in these ads or otherwise? What's finding traction there in Illinois?
Yeah, issues. That would be something novel. Mostly the advertising is focused on attacks. And that's not to say that these candidates don't have issues. J.B. Pritzker, the Democrat, we have a flat tax, a flat income tax in Illinois. And a lot of the fiscal experts here say that for many years now, our tax structure in the state needs to be modernized. It's built for a sort of older industrial economy, and government doesn't capture the sort of revenue it needs to deliver the services that it's promised in Illinois. So it either needs to cut those services or find a way to raise more revenue. So Pritzker, the Democrat, has campaigned on changing our flat tax into a graduated or progressive income tax, where the more money you make, the more you'd pay on higher levels of income. Governor Rauner has had a very different vision. He has sort of championed some of the same causes that Scott Walker has in Wisconsin in terms of reining in public sector unions and really trying to shrink the cost of government. The difference between he in Illinois and Walker in Wisconsin is that Illinois has had Democratic legislatures, and so he has not been able to get his agenda through in the last 4 years. So those are the sort of substantive policies that they're espousing. But in terms of the advertising, it's just been relentlessly negative. Governor Rauner is one of the least popular governors in the country. I think he's, you know, usually in the bottom three in terms of his personal popularity. And so his campaign strategy has been to try and drag J.B. Pritzker down to his level. And so the negative advertising has been relentless.
Well, he was elected to lead Illinois at one point. So when and why was he popular when he entered the scene?
Yeah, well, he campaigned on this very sort of can-do, I'm a fixer, I'm going to bring this sort of common sense business attitude. He had a very simple tagline, 6 words, shake up Springfield, bring back Illinois. And some of his advisors, who are no longer with him, have said that he was probably too ambitious when he came into office. He maybe overread his mandate, and by going for some of these union weakening agenda items in a state where Democrats still run the legislature, he just tried to bite off more than he could chew. And we ended up going, because of that stalemate, we went for 2 years without having a real state budget in Illinois, which led to hundreds, if not thousands, of layoffs from state universities and social service agencies that contract with state government to take care of some of our most vulnerable citizens. And our credit rating was dropped to just one notch above junk status. And ultimately, the governor tried to veto the final budget deal, and he was overridden when a bunch of Republicans revolted on him. And it ended up in an increase in taxes to finally end that budget impasse. And he's really been in a fairly weak position ever since then.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about his challenger, his Democratic challenger, J.B. Pritzker. Now, a Democrat who is a billionaire, as you said, the heir to the Wyatt Hotel chain, I guess, would self-made man be a descriptor used here or not?
Probably not. He has, he can point to some business accomplishments of his own. He helped found a tech incubator in the city of Chicago called 1871. And he did serve on the as chairman of the Human Rights Commission in Illinois, which is sort of our state version of the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission. But for the, you know, as Governor Rauner is fond of pointing out, he did inherit his wealth. And so self-made is not the word I would use, but he is, like we see a lot of super, super rich Democrats, he has been willing to spend money in politics in the past. He's been very politically active, a self-described political junkie. In fact, that's come back to bite him a little bit because he was sort of in the circle of informal advisors to former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. And one of the things that came out in the last year or so was a leaked wiretap recording from when our Governor Blagojevich was being secretly monitored by the FBI. the Pritzker was heard discussing, you know, who to appoint to Barack Obama's Senate seat when Obama won the presidency. So that has kind of come back to bite him a little bit. But he has been long involved in politics from the sidelines, I guess, this would be his first victory if he wins.
Yeah, Blagojevich, there's a name you don't want to be connected with in politics. Mm-hmm.
No, and that's one of the things that Governor Rauner has, you know, tried to drop in the same sentence is Pritzker Blagojevich as often as he possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I understand staffers in the Pritzker campaign, the Democratic challenge here, suing their own campaign over what?
Yeah, they sued. This was a few weeks ago now. Sort of the October surprise came from inside the Pritzker campaign. This is a group of 10 African-American, 9 African-Americans and one Latina staffer who are claiming racial discrimination. Now, the campaign is pushing back very hard on these allegations. They point out that a number of their top leadership positions are people of color. In fact, the lieutenant governor, the Pritzker's running mate is a woman named Juliana Stratton. She's a state representative. She herself is African-American, and she joined him in pushing back very hard on these allegations. But they're complaining of unsafe working conditions in some of the rougher parts of Chicago, as well as a lack of opportunity for advancement. It's worth noting, though, that they also demanded $7.5 million before going public with this and said that they would settle the case for that amount of money and not go public if that money came through. And a number of these staffers were only on board for one of them had been there for quite a while, but many of them had only been there for 2 months, and in one case, even less than a month. So this is something that the campaign has vowed to litigate to the fullest extent possible. Of course, we'll see how that shakes out after the election.
Mm-hmm. I have a quote here from your Chicago Tribune columnist, John Cass. I don't know if you have that in front of you. If you did, you could read it, or I could.
I don't have that in front of me. I'm sorry. No.
You pointed this out to us. I think it's good. So let me read it and have you comment about it. This is from John Cass, Chicago Tribune columnist, about the candidates ahead of Election Day. I can't see how Rauner can win re-election on Tuesday, not after flip-flopping and betraying his conservative base by signing House Bill 40 that provides for taxpayer-funded abortion. Rauner may have doomed the entire state Republican ticket. Rauner made his own money. He risked his own cash in politics. He tried to change Illinois, but his political miscalculations were fatal. Billionaire Democrat J.B. Pritzker has risked nothing except money he didn't earn. He inherited it all. He's never held a job. He doesn't know politics. Illinois is a toy to him, and he'll rely on Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan to run things. In any other state, J.B. Pritzker would be a disastrous candidate. But Illinois is already a disaster, and he just bought it.
He's a conservative columnist, and so he, you know, he has his point of view certainly, and
right.
Republicans and conservatives in Illinois certainly love to think of House Speaker Michael Madigan, who has been the Democratic Speaker of the House for all but 2 years since 1983, as this sort of Svengali combination. A friend of mine, another political writer, once called him a people view him as a mix of Gandalf and Emperor Palpatine. The two very nerdy Lord of the Rings and Star Wars references in there, as sort of an all-knowing, all-seeing, you know, behind-the-scenes operator. But it's worth noting that Madigan has had to work with Republican governors in the past, and he's done so successfully in Illinois. So that is one of the knocks, though, and I think that there is a kernel of truth in what Cass said, and one of the things that interests me most about this race is that Illinois has a tradition of professional politicians, right? There's that famous saying, we don't want nobody, nobody sent. And this, regardless of the outcome of this election, we're going to continue our experiment here of having amateur people run government. Whatever your experience in business has been, running a government is not the same as running a business. And in Illinois, we've spent 4 years with somebody who was, you know, learning the skills of running government and how that differs from running business. And whether that person continues in the job, if Governor Rauner wins re-election or if Pritzker wins, then we're going to continue that experiment.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk to the average Illini, are they sort of, well, everybody in the country is fed up with politics, but more so than even the average when you look at Illinois politics specifically?
Yeah, I mean, and one of the reasons that is that politicians here have been bad-mouthing the state for a very long time, including Governor Rauner, who is walking an interesting line of, you know, he's the business guy, and he campaigned on how he was going to go out and, you know, I want to kick Texas's tail, is something he used to say, and bring businesses back to Illinois. But at the same time, that conflicts with his main political message, which is Illinois is broken, and I can fix it, and we need to adopt my policies to fix it. So people in Illinois are used to hearing their own leaders badmouth the state.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, Illinois does have some epic financial problems in state government. But
right.
One of the problems is that it hasn't been able to solve those because people are afraid to take the actions that are necessary to do that.
Right, Brian, I'm sure you know this. Here across the border in Iowa, we get into some tight budgets, some budgetary problems occasionally, but then we always comfort ourselves and say, we're not Illinois.
Yeah, I think Illinois legislators I talk to are very tired of hearing that from their colleagues in other states at conferences and the like.
Okay, we've got about 90 seconds left, Brian. So it comes down to some of the polling. Talk about some of the polling. Where does it stand now between J.B. Pritzker, the Democrat, and Governor Rauner, the Republican?
Yeah, Pritzker has led in every pre-election poll I've seen anywhere from 13 to 22 points. The most recent one had him up by 16, so that's very much in line. Governor Rauner barely won the Republican primary against a very less well-known and dramatically less well-funded conservative state rep. She ran against him from the right and came within 3 percentage points of winning the primary. So he entered the general election in a weaker state. Typically, you want to win a blue state as a Republican. You move to the center to try and appeal to the broadest set of voters. But Governor Rauner has had to spend the last few months trying to shore up the conservatives and get them to turn out for him.
Mm-hmm. And if we would look at a map of Illinois with the districts, we would see the big blotch of blue around Chicagoland and the rest red?
The rest, pretty much, there's a few downstate urban areas that have little blue islands. But for the most part, if you look at a map, it looks like a Trump state because it's very red. But, of course, all the people are in Chicago and the suburbs. So that's why if you adjust for population, it is still a blue state. But the vast territory outside of Chicagoland is mostly Republican country.
Brian Mackey, State House reporter at NPR Illinois. Brian, thanks for giving us a snapshot of the governor's race in Illinois. We appreciate it.
Happy to do it, Ben. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. Coming up in just a moment after a short break, we'll talk about that gymnastics doctor, Larry Nassar, who sexually abused patients for more than 20 years. Kate Wells will be my guest. You recognize that name from Iowa Public Radio. Now, she's now a reporter for Michigan Radio, producer and host of a new podcast, Believed. We'll be back with Kate Wells in just a moment. I'm Ben Kiefer.